And welcome back to the Saturday morning VFL footy show here on KC Radio 97.7 FM. And joining us, our next guest, and first time for season 2009, Williamstown coach Brad Gotch. Welcome to the program, Brad.
Yeah, g'day, Kane.
It's been a while, but a long pre-season for the Seagulls. You had round one off. How have the boys been preparing for round two?
Yeah, it has been a big build-up. But this year we're a little bit smarter. We only had the six practice games leading in, and we made sure that we monitored the game time of the boys so that they only played about three or four maximum, rather than in the past I sometimes might have overdone it, you know, with, say, eight practice games, and we haven't sort of monitored their game time. So hopefully we've tinkered with it a little bit, and they'll be ready and raring to go because their form's been pretty good the last month.
Now, we were speaking to Ryan O'Connor earlier, and he was talking about the high turnover of players through the Coburg senior list. 50% of their players have been turned over. Some big experience-wise losses for Williamstown in the pre-season, but that's been replaced by some interesting pickup in recruits, and Chris Egan and also Ben Davies.
Yeah, we have had... It's probably our biggest turnover, Kane, in the 7 or 8 years that I've been there. The reserves won the premiership last year, and there was probably a few guys that thought that they were going to struggle to take that next step to play senior football consistently, so they decided to... You know, they got approached by some of the clubs locally, and they're throwing around some good money, and unfortunately, that, you know, we lost those guys. But what we've done is we've picked up, a Ben Davies and a Chris Egan, and then gone with some youth in respect to, you know, coming out of the TAC Cup competition where they're pretty keen to kick on and do something with their careers. So we've just done a little bit of a refocus.
I guess one of the shocks in those departures, just in case people aren't aware, Stephen Green, Callum Murch, Kane McKenzie, Jackson Barling have gone, but the one I was surprised with was Adam Cook. I thought he had the potential of maybe going pretty far with his football career. He really developed last season, even though getting injured. The times that I saw him, he was pretty impressive for a big fella.
Yeah, that was a disappointing one, but he sort of come to that stage in his life where I think he was considering going even overseas at some stage. This year he's got to that mid-20s, I think he's 23, 24, something like that, and he put in some hard yards, and I think he's got a steady girlfriend and all that sort of thing, so I suppose the priorities just change a little bit, plus he's got a good steady job, and we had a good steady job as well. So, yeah, a bit disappointing to lose him because he was a... I think, you know, when he went down in round 16 last year against Tasmania and couldn't play in our finals team, I think that hurt us a bit.
Oh, no, definitely. He's some of his performances in the early part of the season. He had versatility in him as well, and you could swing him nearly in all three positions, the back line, into the ruck, or in the forward line if you need to. So he'll be a big one to cover. But the potential, though, you've got new players coming through, a breath of fresh air, I'm sure. Where can Williamstown go? Is the new talent coming through and the alignment being stronger? Can Williamstown now take the next step to really put some pressure on the sides? Obviously, finishing third was a wonderful achievement last year, but can Williamstown now look to take the next step?
Well, I suppose that's the key question, isn't it, Kane? If when we sit down at the end of last year and we think about what could have been. So, we've made all efforts to do a bit of soul searching of why we haven't been able to make that next step the last 3 years, because we've been in three preliminary finals now.
Yep.
And haven't been able to take that next step to the big one. So I suppose first year of the alignment with the Bulldogs, you'd like to think the second year will get better. You'd like to think that some of those young guys will improve, and I suppose we've got to manage our players a little bit better. It's a long year and we need them up and going at the end of the year, not in the early parts of the year. I think last year we'd won like 13 out of 14 games. So maybe we've just got to manage that a little bit better and have a look at game times and the way we train them and how hard we push them and things like that, and whether we rotate a few players around to sort of keep that, you know, energy within the group. Also, I think we've done a bit of work on our leadership this year. You know, we got a guy back involved with us called Bruce Davis, who's done a fantastic job in previous years, and he had a year off last year, and we just felt that we might have just erred a little bit in that regard. We weren't as good with our leadership development, so we've put a bit of time into that.
We've had Bruce on the program a couple of times. He's a passionate Williamstown man, that's for sure.
Oh, he is, and you know, and he knows his stuff too. So, you know, from that point of view, we'd like to think that we're going to get some influence or advantage over having him back involved, and we can just see it in the pre-season with the way some of the guys have gone about their leadership development, especially someone like Brett Thompson, who's not naturally an outgoing, you know, hard sort of leader, but he's just had a different edge to him this year, and I'd like to think that even the coaching staff have had a look at things. You know, I felt in that preliminary final last year there was a few more things when I analysed the game that I could have done that may have, you know, especially when we're four goals up at half time and whether we could have just defended a little bit better in that third quarter, which would have given us a better chance in the last quarter. So there's been a culmination of quite a number of factors. Plus, you know, we've got some young guys that we think coming from the TAC are going to have a little bit of an impact as well, and the natural improvement in some of the reserve guys that have stayed, like a Luke Cartelli, who won our best and fairest last year in the reserves. He'll play senior footy today. And, you know, you've got some young boys like Dylan Joyce and my son Xavier, and that have come out of TAC and seem to be showing a bit. So you'd like to think they'll add a bit of life to the whole place as well.
I'm getting the feeling through the chat with you this morning, Brad, you're pretty disappointed with what happened with the Seagulls at the end of last season, and you're coming out bigger and better and looking to really try and right some of those wrongs.
Yeah, you'd like to think that, Kane. Look, there was a lot of thought put into it at the end of last season, because we thought we had a fair crack at it last year. You know, winning 13 out of those first 14 games,
yep.
And on our day, we looked pretty good, I thought. But when it came to the crunch, there was just a few things that didn't quite go our way, and some of the guys just didn't perform to the level that they'd performed all year. And then, you know, and then you've got to look at the whole complexity of the team and the people and the support staff and the people around it, just to see there's got to be something missing that you can't take that next step when you had an outfit like you did. So hopefully we've addressed a few of those things, and time will tell whether they've succeeded or worked.
Did you align the disappointing end of the season on the same sort of curve that the Western Bulldogs went with? Because they seemed to hit round 17 in the AFL and really start to lose that momentum that they had. Do you think that may have filtered down to some of the players coming back to represent Williamstown?
Yeah, potentially it could be, Kane, but you know, you can't sort of look for excuses,
yep.
or reasons all the time. But it could have been a part of a factor that contributed to the, you know, to the end of the season, where we did drop off with a few games, and so did the Bulldogs. So and some of those Bulldogs boys didn't play to their level that they were playing early in the year. Like an example was Peter Street,
yep.
who really dominated the competition for the majority of the year, but when it came to the finals, just didn't have the impact that we expected.
And when, even when he got reported and everything like that, he really seemed to lose his momentum that he built so strongly at the football club.
Exactly.
I thought he turned a corner at stages.
So did I, and that's why he got a senior game about two-thirds of the way through the year, when he'd been waiting patiently in the wings, and he wasn't able to play or have an impact like he thought he would. And I think that affected his mindset to think, you know, why am I... I'm going so well at VFL level, and I get my chance at senior level, and I didn't step up. And I think that really affected him mentally. You know, and that contributed to his form lapse towards the end of the season. And then on top of that, like, as an example, in the preliminary final, Farron Ray and Dylan Addison, that are, you know, very, very good players, they were coming off knee injuries, you know, in the latter part of the year, and they were coming back through us to see whether they could play senior footy. And first semi-final against Frankston,
yep.
You know, Farron Ray and Dylan Addison were very, very good contributors, with, I think, 31 touches, one of them, and 22. In the preliminary final, they both had 8,
yep.
And had limited impact. So, you know, on top of Street and a few other younger boys, plus some of my experienced Woolly boys, you know, it was a disappointing end in the second half.
Well, I guess one big positive, and we'll build the alignment even stronger, is the rise of Liam Picken. If you want to see a footballer who's battled the hard yards, I remember seeing Liam play in the VFL reserves, and he's kept going and continued to progress and really flourished under your leadership, Brad, as coach. It must be a proud moment when he represented the Bulldogs in 2009. He did such a sterling job and really has held himself high as a tagger. But even more than that, because you watch Liam pick and play, one of his big assets is his ability to hurt you on the rebound. He seems to get himself into positions and do pretty well for himself. So it's a wonderful achievement for the young fella.
Yeah, look, it's been very exciting the last month to see him sort of force his way in to get an opportunity. But I watched him throughout the pre-season, and you know, Rodney Eade was a little bit unsure about how he might go. You know, he knows he's been a good player down at VFL level, but to take that next step. But we noticed in him, he's got a very good endurance tank, which we sort of saw at Williamstown, but he never took it to the highest level or that elite level. And when he came down, he's been training and sitting on the heels of Daniel Cross and Matthew Boyd and those sorts of guys. So they've sort of dragged him along,
yep.
Throughout the pre-season. And then Rocket asked him to probably handball a little bit more, you know, because he did have a tendency sometimes to be a little bit scrappy by foot, which I think that's the main reason why a lot of the clubs haven't looked at him.
Yep.
At time under pressure, he didn't use the ball. But I still saw enough in him at different times where, you know, he kicked the nice goal and you'd see him do a good pass and he could take that big mark and things like that, that you'd like to think that you just, you know, keep working on those things and encouraging it and putting him into a full-time environment at AFL level. I reckon that's really assisted him too, because he's very determined and he's got a good routine that he sets himself, and he's got a good attitude, and he's very professional, and he works hard at his game. So naturally, he was going to improve quite quickly being a 22-year-old. And yeah, he's got the opportunity, and he's doing great guns at the minute. So he's in again tomorrow, and it's his third game in a row, which is a fantastic achievement. And everyone's really excited down at Willie, and gives some other guys a bit of a thought that maybe that's something there that if they work hard enough at, they might get a chance at.
The buyers back involved in the senior competition this year, Brad. Are you happy to have it round one, or would you prefer to have it maybe... It's not really a bit of a question hard to answer, really. Do you want it in round five and give your boys a break? But interesting to have it round one.
Yeah, well, look, this is my eighth year coaching, and we've never had it round one, so I suppose it was our turn to take that opportunity. Now, we've been fairly fortunate not to have had it. So all you do is just plan out a little bit differently. And, you know, we had a great hit out last week against the AIS on Telstra Dome, which was a great experience for a lot of our players. So, yeah, look, time will only tell today, I suppose, in the last quarter, whether our legs are sufficient enough with our preparation. That's going to be the key thing, because you just never know when the hustle and bustle of a fair income four premiership point game comes up, whether you've got the legs to actually carry you through.
I guess last weekend would have given you an opportunity to get down to Visi Park and see the Pies against the Cats. They were pretty impressive. I guess the side that they had last weekend only had one VFL-listed player in it, that being Chris Pendlebury, so you'd expect a pretty strong result there from the Pies. A couple of changes to their senior list today. The momentum built by pre-season, looking to face, I guess, what could be considered your rival because of the strong alignment that was there once. How do you find yourself safer up against the Pies this afternoon?
Yeah, well, as you said, they're a pretty strong outfit, although they got hurt a little bit with those few injuries and suspensions throughout the week. So it brings them back three or four players from how they were last week. And, you know, I've got a lot of respect for Geelong as a team. You know, they had a pretty tidy outfit out in the park, and they were able to knock them off fairly comfortably. And I don't think they've dropped a game in the pre-season.
No, they haven't.
So far. So they're in pretty good nick. And, you know, they played on that ground last week. Lost a couple of key players. That Barham that went up did a bit of a tagging job last week and did a good job on Tanae. So, you know, they don't have that today. So whoever else steps into that role will be interesting. And then they don't have Rocker up forward to kick at. And yeah, so it might just unsettle them a little bit, but, you know, it gives opportunity to other blokes. So they're going to be pretty keen coming in, especially from an outside situation where they want to prove themselves. So, yeah, we're going to have to be on our guard.
I know every week's a tough week, Brad, but the next three rounds for the Seagulls, you've got the Tigers at home, and then you've got Sandringham at home, so two home games in a row before you have to go into Frankston. So could be an interesting start to the season, and looking at obviously playing Collingwood today and then Sandringham, you really know exactly where Williamstown are so early in the season.
Yeah, it's a good test, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Wouldn't get many harder games than that at this time of year, I suppose, unless you had to go up to North Ballarat or something. But yeah, look, so we'll have a good idea of where we're at early in the season, and I just sense in the attitude of the players that we've had a good build-up the last month. You know, we've played both Coburg and we played Box Hill, North Ballarat, and we've had good games against those guys. So you'd like to think that we're in reasonable shape. We look like we've got quite a few numbers up and going at this stage of the year, so there's not going to be a lot of excuses except for maybe a little bit of match conditioning.
Well, Brad, any names for us to look out for in 2009? Hopefully I get to call Xavier Gotch throughout 2009, but any other names coming through that we could look forward to representing the Seagulls in this season?
Yeah, well, I suppose from the Bulldogs, you'll be looking at someone like a Jared Grant to take a bit more of a step up in what he does. Guy O'Keefe, Sam Reid, they're their guys from the Bulldog side of things. And then, look, there's guys that aren't playing today, like Mitch Cadell and Xavier and Dylan Joyce and those guys that are seen to have shown a fair bit throughout the pre-season that are a bit stiff not to be in the initial squad. But Cam Lockwood's had a great pre-season so far playing in the back line. We're sort of settling down into a back pocket, and he's been showing some great signs there. So they'd be probably the main guys at this stage, plus Luke Cartelli, that played his first game today, coming from reserves, best and first last year.
Well, Brad, thank you so much for joining us here on the Saturday morning VFL Footy Show. We're going out to broadcast the big game there this afternoon, and hopefully the momentum you've built will push you through today and be victors against the Pies out there at Visi Park.
Thanks a lot, Kane. All the best, mate.
No problems. Brad Gotch there joining us on the Saturday morning VFL Footy Show. Love having a chat to Brad. We could sit there and talk forever about Williamstown's prospects and football in general. He's got a great footy brain, one of the leading coaches in the comp, as everyone's aware, I'm sure. And big things for Williamstown this year. You could really feel, by speaking to Brad there, Jim, that they really want to turn around their disappointing end to 2008, and they look to push forward in 2009, very similar to the same psyche and culture used by the Western Bulldogs going into this season.
I reckon it sounds like they're very confident winning.
A few reasons for
being confident, with Collingwood losing their probably three or four players.
Yeah, definitely.
So, that was very interesting to note that, because it was factual rather than something non-tangible.
Well, we still haven't got any text yet, so 0424 438 415 for some VFL talk action and get involved with the Saturday morning VFL football show or the broadcasts, or if you don't agree with something said, or you've got a question for anybody, feel free to please SMS that through. Round two of the VFL, we've spoken to Ryan O'Connor and Bradley Gotch. Unfortunately, Gary's might not be available.
We'll be speaking to him this afternoon on a couple of occasions, won't we?
No, probably not, because we'll be going to air at 7 o'clock. The game starts at 7, so we will do our best to try and give you a pre-game, but I don't know if it's going to happen. So Brycey might need to put another phone call out to Gary Ayres before 10:15. Round two of the VFL, you've got Chris Weaver's tips there. We'll be putting our tips into the George's Run VFL tipping cop once again.
Yeah, mine didn't make it, but we'll rectify that, because we've got the...
Did you check the results? Are you in the list?
No, you did.
No, I didn't properly go through for yourself. Okay. I only look out for me.
Oh, well, you should look out.
I'm a me person.
You should look out for everybody.
There's no I in team, but it's definitely me. ABC football today, live from Frankston Park. Having a look at there, some names to look at. Purvis has been listed there on the bench. Another strong lineup there. Sean Pollard, Frankston captain, plays 100 games. Congratulations to him, and we wish him all the best. Marajalani looking like he's playing more in the midfield this year, and Justin Berry was best on ground. Sandringham, looking at the list there, can't really recognise any new players coming in there from last week. Couple of players on the bench there in Gilder and Lockwood, but I couldn't imagine too many changes, with Rennie Gilchrist probably lining up on the bench there for the Zebras. Having a quick look, they've got about 7 St Kilda listed players. Tom Lynch was fantastic, but their midfield brigade last week, you can just go through it. This midfield, if they can maintain it, will win the VFL Premiership this year. McAvoy was sensational in the ruck. You got Armitage, Lee Fisher, Peter Summers, David Gallagher, Xavier Clark. And you chuck in the rotations there of Panarakis and Waller and Simon Clark, who debuted very well for the Zebras last weekend. They're a very strong lineup. You've got Robert Eddy there to do the tagging role. I think what I saw last weekend, if Sortner, obviously not kicking 8 goals every week, but continuing to fire and stay fit in that forward line, they're going to be very impressive. Like, it's not very often you see the Zebras, and Andy Biddlecombe, who was the cornerstone of their centre-half back line last year, be used as a roving defender, just running off at will.
Yep, and you've missed two, David Gallagher and Peter Summers.
No, I've got them in there in the midfield. But, that Gallagher returned to form, didn't he, back after his knee injury from last season?
I don't think I've ever seen David Gallagher play a bad game. I just reckon he's one of the hardest players in the competition.
He takes his bumps.
Yeah. And Peter Summers and Shane Valenti. Shane Valenti plays for Scorpions now, doesn't he?
He does. So that's
going to be hard to get used to in the next couple of months.
Are you tipping Frankston at all? I love Frankston Day. Big day down there. First home game of the year. Will that be enough to stir them? Which can be a hoodoo ground for the Zebras. They don't play that well at Frankston Park. Who are you going to tip?
I'm not sure at the moment.
I think Sandringham will win quite comfortably.
Yep.
On what I saw last week, obviously. Pretty Chris tip. He would have tipped.
Yeah, I haven't done my my updates of the history of the all the stats.
Yeah,
and everything.
We need to.
I'll get on to that as soon as I can get my computer up and running again. It's not a problem. It's just that laziness and other priorities.
Oh, you're a full time worker down here now, Jim.
This is right. No, I haven't got time. I've got time. I just got it. We had 3 outside broadcasts in 3 days. And they lost one day because I couldn't do anything on Monday because I was at the Balnarring races. And on Tuesday and Wednesday, we had a few things to do that we normally did on the Monday.
So
including going to Frankston to set up the equipment to find out if it works.
That's good news, yeah. And, we should be broadcasting from Frankston with no issues. Yeah,
good news, but we've had good news when it comes to setting up of equipment at venues before, only to be when you want to go to air, the quality drops, but we'll fix that.
Who's your tip? Sandringham?
Oh, Sandringham, definitely.
Did Chris tip Sandringham? Yep.
I don't know, I can't even find his selections. I reckon there must be a third page I'm missing.
No, they're usually just under the report of the game. Doesn't matter, we'll keep going there. So We're both tipping Sandringham to win the ABC game. From ABD Group Stadium, we spoke to Rhino Connor earlier in the program.
Sandringham by 10. Yeah, there was a
10 points.
There was a third page I was missing.
He saw Frankston in the pre-season, Chris, so he rates their chances very highly. That's good to hear. Hopefully it's a close game.
Frankston beats Casey by 3 points in a practice game. Then Sandringham beats...
I heard a report of that practice game that you gave me some very bad information on, Jim Hines.
Tell me what I gave you and I'll back myself.
Frankston, in the last half or last quarter, decided to play players in all different positions and rotate them on the bench and hardly even put in a competitive effort. Well, that's going to flatter Casey Scorpions, who would have been going flat and accurate in the last quarter.
So what did I tell you?
Well, you said it was a close game.
It was a close game on paper.
I heard it was one-sided. And that Frankston decided to give everyone a go.
I said the scoreboard was three. When a team wins by 3 points, and you're saying it's not a close game.
Well, it can. The scoreboard can flatter opposition at
times. Yeah, no, but that's what I'm saying. Frankston only beat Casey by 3 points, based on the fact that the scoreboard said that. Then a 103-point win by Sandringham in a fair dinkum game. You assume that some of that 103 points will filter through to a win over... over Frankston.
Now, we've only got 10 minutes left, so we won't go through the pre-season talk here. We need to get our round two selections out there.
Yep. And Coburg Tigers versus Geelong.
That's it. We were talking about them, and Rhino was pretty confident about their chances. But as Brad Gotch just alluded to, it was a pretty strong Geelong outfit, and Lonergan and Podsiadly in that forward line does make for a better unit than what we experienced last weekend against the Pies. Tatangi, we like him. He kicked the goal last weekend, but... will they beat the Coburg Tigers, the Cats? Yep.
Should 2000 we? I reckon we should call him a ride on the tip of my tongue.
Well, who would you like to tip?
Coburg by 18 is Chris's selection. I can't see anything wrong with it.
Yeah, I think Coburg will be too strong. Now, the 97.7 Saturday game of the day, live here on 97.7, Tristan Fernanda and Chris Weaver. We'll be joining Eddie Sadler, the son of John. We'll get some tips from him for Randwick. Yep. And also Nick Nikolovsky there joining the boys. Collingwood versus Williamstown. Former rivals. Busy Park, 2 o'clock.
Former co-tenants.
Yeah, sorry. Now rivals. Alignment.
Alignments, yeah. That's the word.
Collingwood versus Williamstown at Busy Park.
Yep, Chris has gone for Williamstown and win by 14. Depends on how the form stacks up with Collingwood. Playing an undermanned Geelong team last week. They've lost a few players. I think Williamstown should win, but 14 points, depends on a lot of factors, and we don't know those factors until the two teams actually front up and start playing each other.
I think Collingwood, as much as there'll be four players down from the changes from last weekend, the four players that missed out last week were regular senior players last year in Nichols, Peveril and Frost. Now, Peveril wasn't right. He was he missed out due to injury, not being 100%. So there were some articles written about him that he was left out of the side. That's not correct. He wasn't fit. Peveril being the captain of Geelong VFL side, he'll come back in. So that's adding a lot of experience to the loss. And Nichols and Frost are quality midfielders. So I don't see that those four changes. It might be a little bit different structure-wise because you're not going to have Anthony Rocker inside that forward line. McCaffrey might need to move out of the midfield and go forward. But one of the players I've noticed here that was very impressive last weekend who hasn't come up is John McCarthy. He went off injured in the third quarter with looked like a quad strain, and he hasn't made his way back through. So I think looking for revenge, Williamstown, who are traditionally a very strong side, they've got the experience of some of those Western Bulldogs players in Callan and White, Tiller, Ward available. We'll see who gets the final nod there. Welsh in the forward line, Meyer in the ruck. Oh, it's a tough one, Jim. Robert Murphy back for the Seagulls. If you're a Western Bulldogs supporter and got nothing to do, tune into us or get to the footy.
Williamstown, definitely.
It's a matter of... I don't like the look of the Collingwood forward line without Rocker there. Dawes and... what's his name? Brian. Are likely to struggle against players like Cloak and White to kick a winning score. So I'm going to go Williamstown.
Yeah, Williamstown. I don't know about the 14-point margin that Chris has chosen.
No, it'll be a very close game today.
Yeah. It's a hard one. It's a hard one to pick a margin, but definitely Williamstown at this stage. Unless, of course, they lose a few players to the Western Bulldogs. Yeah. The next game is Werribee Tigers versus
Saturday night.
Bendigo Bombers. A land break. Might, what do you call it?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's a new thing.
Werribee Tigers versus the Bendigo Bombers from Buttercart Oval. Saturday night, feeling all right in the AFL. There's two games of it. Make sure you go either side of the freeway. Get down and support the Werribee Tigers. They're expecting a crowd of 4,000 people out there tonight.
I don't know where they're going to put them.
Get there early for a car park and get in there and support the VFL and the Werribee Tigers versus the Bendigo Bombers. I'll come down to Casey Fields and add some support down there and have a couple of frotteries and watch the Saturday night football on the lights. Obviously, drink responsibly.
Yeah. 4,000 of Werribee.
That's what they're tipping. Yeah. New renovations down there. Hopefully, Levi Greenwood doesn't play for the VFL side and makes his AFL debut. But if he does play for the VFL, expect him to have an impact. Werribee had the bye last weekend. The Bendigo Bombers going down to the Bull Ants. They said they've improved the brand new jumper for the Bendigo Bombers. They say change is like a holiday, Jimbo. Give us a tip, Nathan Thompson, to spearhead the Werribee Tigers this year of the loss of Pods.
Yeah, Werribee should win fairly easily.
Fairly easily?
Yeah.
Get on the back of the Tigers in 2009, yeah. Jim Hines.
Yeah, they've always
been... Premiership
been...
favourites, the Tigers?
No premiership favourite. No, no way.
Oh, no, they've got a genuine chance.
No, they're not favourites. There's a team called Port Melbourne that might be putting up their hand to be favourites.
Bendigo Bombers have interesting lineup. There are a couple of players going back there in Jeddah and Bucca Hooley looking to push his name. Will Lonergan get a run or will he be playing at VFL level? Under lights. Yes,
yep.
You're going to have to go Werribee Tigers just.
Yep.
I'm very 50-50 this weekend. I only got two last weekend.
Yep.
So I could be struggling. I could be struggling again.
You've got a chance to get six this week.
Well, I do. Casey Scorpions, the other Saturday night game against the Barra Port Melbourne. Only got 5 minutes left of the program, Jimbo. We can't go as long as we like last weekend because the boys have already made their way into Studio One and they're waiting to go. They've had their breakfast. They've had their Cocoa Pops and the junior guys have made their way in.
Another night game tonight. The two night games for the season 2009, both on tonight.
Yep.
And Casey Scorpions... they really, really struggled last week, and against Port Melbourne, the powerhouse of the competition as we speak. The Port Melbourne bandwagon should gain a few more members today.
Well, depending on what selections change there by the Melbourne side, they'll be playing on Sunday. Expect one of the couple of the players to come through. They had five Melbourne-listed players play in the reserves last weekend, so they will be hoping that some of those guys come up to play ones this weekend to add some experience. Boys versus men last week, and I can't see it changing Port Melbourne to win tonight.
Yep.
At Casey Fields, where they traditionally haven't played that well.
Yeah. Box Hill Hawks versus Northern Bullants. Excuse me. Box Hill Hawks versus Northern Bullants. Oh. The Box Hill Hawks, this game...
The only game on Sunday, so you've got nothing to do. Get down to the footy or listen to 3WBC.
Yep. Northern Bullants were...
3WBC for 2009.
Northern Bullants were very, very impressive last week. I think.
The ooze.
And as Kane alluded to, Carazzo and Heath Shepherd played absolutely blind. I think they got about...
Who's Heath Shepherd? Heath Scotland.
I think Heath Shepherd played for Collingwood about 10 years ago.
Heath Shepherd, that's his new name.
I think they picked up about 70 possessions between them.
Yeah, they probably turned it over 65 times.
Yeah, they probably stood on the half-back line and just waxed it for half an hour. Just kicked it backwards and forwards to each other.
Well, obviously didn't do enough to impress the selectors.
Well, not only did they not select... impress the selectors, they couldn't even make it to the best players list.
Yeah, so they must have turned the ball over.
Carazzo picked up 41 possessions on his own, and Heath Scotland picked up 29, so there's 70, and they totally got ignored by the people that that selected them to be best of ground, which they weren't. O'Halpin got he got a few kicks apparently. And, he played very, very well, apparently. He got in the best. And, I haven't got the best players list in front of me. That's why I'm...
That's what I've said a couple of times, Jimbo. The people who put in the best, which are probably club volunteers or even managers, I apologise.
Yep, or even relatives.
Sometimes it just feels like we're not watching the same game of footy. But Box Hill, looking to really build on their season from last year.
Lost a few players.
Well, yeah, they finished 11th. They won six games, lost 14. They've managed to keep their best and fairest winner, Kenner. The recruits for the Box Hill Hawks this year, Uze, Sam Isles, Marco Bello from the Central Districts, Ed Kerno. So a couple of those guys are getting their name in there. And Lockie George, coming from Tasmania, could be one of the recruits of the season. Batsanas will be a big loss. He was a handy pickup by the Borough. Jimbo, quickly, your tip for the Sunday game, Box Hill versus the Northern Bullants.
Northern Bullants should win comfortably. But it depends on the Hawthorn contingency.
I'm tipping
how Adam
Uze
goes.
I'm tipping Box Hill to dramatically turn their season around and start the season well. They traditionally start the season terribly. I think Brendan Bolton's a smart operator, and the inclusions of Uze, and you got Boyle and the man of the porn star name, Bo Dowler, inside that forward 50. I think they'll be pretty good.
Made the emergencies for Hawthorn, which is good.
Yeah, Schoenmaker's coming back to play in the VFL. Mitch Thorpe at centre-half back, looking to develop his defensive skills. And Lucas Markovic was listed as a player to watch. That is all. So, Box Hill to win. Jim has gone the Northern Bullants. Make sure you tune in to 97.7 FM this afternoon and this evening, live from 1 o'clock, Collingwood versus Williamstown, and at around 7 o'clock, maybe 6:45 if we can, it will be Casey Scorpions versus Port Melbourne. Kane Pollard and Jim Hines signing off, and we'll catch you at the footy.